since I'm going to be eating ice cream, as I already said, I'll maybe leave it to the rest of these people and yourselves to define what that means, what creativity is about, and spontaneity versus and or discipline, how things are created, what makes people creative, why some people aren't or don't want to be or can't, or only some certain times of the year. All those kinds of questions may pertain. This is your forum.
Well, and when you were talking hope about help us tonight, out. I'd like to know if that was a spontaneous kind of thing between Herb and Paul when Herb asked you to get up and do things on your own. Was this spontaneous?
Well, Herb had indicated to me ahead of time that he wanted me to play some bread music and I should think about it, which I did, but I didn't really think about it that thoroughly. Or I didn't give it that much thought until the moment that Herb started to talk, and then the wheels started to move, and I was trying to pick up ideas from what he was saying. So it was pretty much spontaneous, yes. The best of spontaneity, though, has to have some, from my experience, has to have some preparation.
I know, for instance, when I was asking him, for a sequence. It's the same thing as when I give him a poem that, or a hymn that has 8 or 6 stanzas. That's a sequence. Or 8 lines, that means that each line gets its own tune and makes a whole. That's why I fed him, or I gave him what I would give him if I gave him a stanza. I gave him an image and an image and an image and an image. That's what I do, only in poetry you meter it out. So, I was concerned that Dave know the sequence, which he had written down. So I knew if Dave had a script, I had a script, and I'd give it to him. So in that sense, I was prepared. But Dave didn't know why I wanted him to have the sequence. I think sometimes people think that creativity or is spontaneity, off the cuff, the seat of the pants, and there's no preparation. There's a lot of preparation and a great deal of anxiety going on, wondering what page you are on or how the content is going to behave, because very often the people are your subject matter and you respond to their behavior.
Oh. How delightful.
Which is mine, the money or the...
You will, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you. You're a doll.
Oh, yeah, well, I think that was too strong a word.
Oh, no, I think creativity involves a certain amount of nerves and also willingness to risk. I'd like to illustrate something that Barb and I did when we were coming through graduate school and barely making ends meet. And it was at Champaign, Illinois, and Champaign County was having a fair. And I had gone out to the fair the previous year, and the fair officials have an art show. And we saw the kind of art that was there. Neither one of us are trained artists, but we thought, well, gee, we'll enter and see if we can at least have a chance to make a little money off of prizes. And I think I went down to the lumber yard and got 5 small sticks of walnut that was scrapped on a large board, and it had a hole in it. And I put 4 sticks at one end and a large stick at the other, polished it up and varnished it and turned it in and called it the Dictator. I got 2nd prize. I think we cleared something like $200 with the stuff that we turned in. It was just pure creativity of junk and nerve. And threw it away when we were through.
The prize winners may have been as creative as you were. I mean, just the people that decided who would win, you know, that's creative.
One of the greatest improvisers the world has known is a man by the name of Marcel Dupré in Paris. He is organist at Sounds of Peace. And the story is told that one of his former American students came to Paris to visit him after many years' absence. And Mr. Dupré knew that he was coming, but he didn't know exactly when he was coming. And one evening he appeared at the door, rapped on the door, and Madame Dupré came to the door and was very happy to see her, their old friend again, and they were chatting downstairs. when he asked her, where is the master? Is he around? And she said, oh, he's upstairs practicing for tomorrow night's improvisation. What he was doing was what I think Herb was saying a moment ago. He was outlining certain things for himself to do. And should this happen, then this is what I will do. Should that appear, then this is what I will do. And he was preparing for all kinds of dead ends or detours that he would have to make. And nobody could disturb him the night that he was preparing that. But when it came off, it sounded, or it seemed, to be purely improvisatory, and it was. But it was studied, sure, and it was prepared.
So in line with that, some of you have seen Larry's slides of rocks in the Vespers, maybe last week, or this week. The slices of rock, the photographs, beautiful. And as I was watching, and also some of the pictures of Fritz's urine slides of urine samples blown up, beautiful. I know that sounds a little weird, and it is a little weird, but the pictures, as I saw the rock slides and the urine slide samples in big pictures, I do collaging, and I was thinking, my gosh, if I could do a collage that would be like as good as those rock slides or the urine slides, be tremendous. Now, you might want to get into, is that art? I mean, that's a heavy question while I eat my ice cream.
Those are urea crystals rather than urine. It's a slight difference.
Urea crystals. Thank you. I stand happily correct.
I think it's possible maybe to consider, I'm just hearing this sort of for the first time, but it seems to me that maybe improvisation is one of the essential ingredients for the creative life. That what creativity is not necessarily, you know, making something out of nothing, but it's making something out of what's there, and that means that you don't sit and wait for the spirit. I think a lot of people think maybe of creative people as people who are sitting around, you know, waiting for, you know, to get zapped by some muse, that most of their time is spent saying, I don't feel like it. And improvisation is really the thing out of which other things grow, out of which things maybe become concretized or given some form. But ultimately, somewhere along the line, for correcting, for rebuking yourself, for energizing, for getting yourself up to do a thing, for maybe even just getting yourself excited about a certain possibility, you have to be living in an arena of spontaneity, that means that I think for creative people, maybe improvisation happens all the time. You're like they said of some, I guess it was Cezanne said of Manet, he was only an eye, but what an eye. You know, he's always looking, and a certain thing there became something else. So in the process of thinking, while he was looking, he was actually improvising. And I can't imagine that most of the creative life isn't spent that way.
When you call a concert pianist who is really good, but who plays the notes, and who does not, I take it there are such people, who does not improvise at all, who wouldn't know, begin to know how to improvise, but who is a great pianist because he or she somehow or another pours the soul into the playing of that music. But it's by the numbers, it's by the notes. Would you call that person a creative artist? Because that person plays, it isn't played mechanically, or it wouldn't be a great pianist, right? It's played greatly. It's played creatively, maybe. But would you call that person a creative artist?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can imagine there not being improvisation in that person's mentality.
There are
would improvisation, maybe I'm using the word improvisation in too narrow a way.
I think that what you're saying is that, first of all, a creative artist is one who can take the concept of a composer and recreate it in a very meaningful way. He may not be able to create a melody of his own, but he may have great depth, he will have great depth of soul and heart so that he can create a mood and recreate an image in the composer, or of the composer, and thus become a very substantive artist. On the other hand, you can find another person who is no less a creative artist, who can sit down and improvise. That's another form of creativity. I don't think that I would like to say that you have to be able to improvise in order to be a great artist, to recreate somebody else's work. I think there are various forms.
Are you done?
Yes.
That seems to me like sometimes in artistry there are creative teams. Some of the people that compose really can't play what they have put on paper that well, and it takes someone else to interpret, to complete the thing. The same thing with a writer. You write something, but an editor takes it who can't do the original writing, but can, you know, polish yours up so that it's really great. A big improvement over what you originally wrote. And it's a creative team then, because one is adding to the other. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense to me, I'm afraid. That just scares the heck out of me right now.
I can see. It's not in your field, but I
know. No, I guess I'd rather see what somebody wrote before the editor got to it, because I have a sneaking suspicion most editors are not as much as interested in the writing as they are in the song.
Yeah, but the editor would probably have a way of bending words, clumsy expressions of a writer, in such a way that it would be more meaningful and be able to communicate.
Then what is the job of the writer? I mean, if his words are clumsy, maybe he's not a writer.
Well, that's a good question.
Or if the editor is so good, why in the world doesn't the editor write the book?
That's right. There's a difference.
Yes.
I think there is a difference in figuring out the ideas and communicating the ideas.
I've worked
certainly with... true in science, for example, that there are people who develop ideas and
research,
read their papers, and they're awful to read.
I work with creative and non-creative editors a lot. The creative editor treats me in a live form, a living form, and I think that's a whole lot what creativity means. It comes off the creator and that, and etc. The non-creative editor destroys me. He says things like, "I'll take it home and rewrite it." I mean, I already grabbed the manuscript from him, you know, things like that. But a creative editor bends a little, or just does some, and asks me, or talks to me, and sits and says, "Tell me what you mean." And then maybe just one word makes all the difference, and I understand it better, because it doesn't mean that I know more what it means, but I feel that more will know what it means, and so I've opened a life force. And to me, the primary word for me in creativity is the word life. What I wanted to do tonight with Matt was create or keep alive a life between him and me and him and others and him and himself. In other words, a good self-esteem, I think, is important, not only for the person, but for the community.
And Matt gave me these rocks, which I left in the kitchen, or in the dining room. So he didn't have his script. He was going to show me tonight how they were sad and how they were glad. So he was going to talk off them. I wouldn't think of asking him to talk off an abstract memory, off his memory, because he'd say, here and here, then I'd know. I took his script away. So what the best thing I could do to keep him alive was to have him by me. And that's why I had him by me. I knew that if I let him sit there, that would be so much on my mind. Wouldn't only destroy him, it'd destroy me, and that wouldn't be good for the whole community. So
but you
I
were
went.
Improvising.
I was improvising, but I knew what my data was. My data was this boy and me and a contract we had.
We don't deal in visual art so much with the editor who can maintain a life like that, but I think we all deal with another aspect of creativity, which is really part of the originator's life, and that is the creative listener, the creative reader, the creative looker. There are people that will kill you or kill your work by asking what it was you had in mind when you did that, you know.
I leave them before they hurt me much.
Ooh.
I leave them in a hurry.
There goes the life.
Yes, sir.
Which is probably not your life, and not necessarily the life of your work, but it's the life that you got together.
That's
from
right.
That moment it's gone,
because
it's so dependent upon you to, you know, like coming up afterwards and asking you, what did you mean by that tonight, Herb? Which meant that everybody was waiting for an answer, you know, and it was in the thing. It was whatever they were waiting for now is gone, because they wanted something right, you know, they wanted a script or something of that sort. And the music, what did that mean? Just watching you trying to get around Mammy's little baby.
Yes. I heard that.
I got myself back to the corner.
Three notes.
Three notes, yeah.
Oh, and if somebody comes at you with some reasons for you having to do that, then the whole life gut thing comes right out of it. So I think creativity is as much looking and it's as much in the reading as it is in the writing and the playing and the drawing and the painting.
Yes.
It seems like Jim's, I'd like to go back to what Jim was saying, in the sense that there are different levels of creativity, I think, that maybe we're talking about. Certainly, and I, again, using the model of science, just trying to maybe take it from a different perspective. You have technicians who work in a lab who have to arrange that and be creative in that sense. Then you have what you might call normal science, scientists who kind of, like jigsaw puzzles, putting things together, and they have to be creative. And then occasionally, every decade or so, you have a revolutionary kind of person. And the social ordering in science is very distinct between these levels. And yet each one has some degree of creativity. The revolutionary changing whole new ideas, that becomes a very passionate, very quite often painful kind of process that they have to go through, which takes quite a long time sometimes, and all of a sudden things may happen, but I wouldn't call that one improvisation. I don't think they improvise at that level, whereas at the technician level, improvisation, the word might fit. So that there are different levels on that.
Well, and the movie Why Man Creates is, I don't know, I don't understand levels of creativity. I don't know what that means, but Why Man Creates talks about this playfulness, this fooling around, this experimentation, and then suddenly, that I would call that fluency, maybe I would call that flexibility, and I would call that, you know, just it means that you don't settle for the first answer or the second or the fifth, and in this playfulness and this openness, even ambiguity or risk, all those things come in there. Then
there is
you
a
say,
different degree of risk, I think.
Then you say, hey, these two, all of a sudden, boom, there it is. Then you work on that one, and you probably use some of the same tools, because within that one you find a design and a fabric and some how it's vulnerable, and you get at its attributes. And then sweat. Then comes the sweat, and then comes the hard work in the movie Why Man Creates. I'd say both of those are creative acts. And then even to use it is a creative act, in the sense that it's fulfilling. I think that the word life is somehow connected in whether one uses it, does it, buys it, or what.
I have a problem because on the one hand, it seems to me creativity is talked about as a positive value for everybody. It's life, it's spontaneity, it's flexibility. There is no one anywhere who ought not to exercise creativity, on the one hand. On the other hand, it's talked about within the realm of the arts. It seems to me we've got to come clean on that. We're not all artists, and we all, you know, can't be and ought not to be artists. Well, I mean, you know, not at all any preachers either. The world had collapsed yesterday. But we've got to sort that out, because either we ought to restrict the word to the arts, or if we want everybody to be creative, then we have to talk about creativity in such a way that non-artists are not intimidated. And I think that's a problem of sorting the thing out.
Mm-hmm. I think a person is more creative if it comes from a family in which the parents don't slap a little kid down for, don't do it that way. They got to have the freedom to try new styles without being slapped down, so that they're narrowly trapped in a certain mold which is acceptable.
Well, it's not just parents, it's school teachers.
That's true.
I mean, there are other words for spontaneity.
Oh, yes.
That, for example, that are negative, like random,
yeah,
would be one.
Yeah.
I mean, you could play, you know, you could paint randomly or play an instrument just randomly, and I don't think that you'd call that creative. So there has to be some element of discipline which has almost the opposite connotation of this floating around.
I feel that randoming, when I use that word, is part of the expression of the creative person.
It's a selective process.
It's one of the steps in the creative act. A creative act isn't one step, but it has random sampling instead of random action in it.
It does have to do with, though, I think Jim's point is really well taken. It has to do more with lifestyle, doesn't it, than vocation or even avocation? That you're not, I know an awful lot of artists who, quote, artists, who are not creative. I mean, it doesn't necessarily imply that there is a technical virtuosity even. I would imagine that there are pianists who are not creative, although they may have quite a lot of technical virtuosity. Maybe there are scientists who are not creative. I think of housewives who are very creative, and it doesn't have anything to do with needlepoint or hooked rugs, or that you walk in and the house looks like a museum or something of that sort. It is, isn't that, it's like, what they do is through their effort made uncommon. And I would imagine for housewives that's a real job.
Their effort.
There is an uncommonness about how they approach what they do.
You mean like unusual?
Yeah.
You mean like original?
It's given a stamp which is their own stamp.
But is that where original comes off of? I like the uncommonness word. I like that.
Hey.
You're the creative, you're so.
Just nipped in the bud.
Drop down, ye heavens.
The thing that just happened to me, at least I didn't hear it, that sort of ties in some of these thoughts, and that is that it almost requires a certain background of experience as a prerequisite to be expressive in a creative way. As you mentioned, Herb, the randomness. You have to have experience to know when the random one, when the right one hits.
Yeah.
And, and even the housewife, I think, that the experiential factors will go to help her select a direction.
I certainly wouldn't want my position to be creating.
I think there's a couple other things that you're going to do. One is space and the other is time. It's very, very difficult to be creative when you're so hassled with just trying to get food on the table or the family fed and clothed, that you have either space or time in which to have a little...
I guess I'll take exception to what Larry just said. I would like my physician to be very creative. I think most physicians think that they've got to follow a routine that physicians follow. And I, as a result, I don't see him paying any attention to me as a unique person. I think he ought to be very creative. Not in, you know, if I'm on the table and I'm undergoing heart surgery. But that there is some kind of uniqueness, you know, in the way he deals with whatever he deals with. And I don't think that you know, the point is, I guess I'd like to hear from people, you know,
please don't say even housewives.
No, I'm not.
Sorry.
No, I got to go home tonight. I happen to have a very creative lady in the house, and not because she weaves, but because of what she does in the house. The way you raise your kids, the way you deal with people, people that go into a room full of strangers, I am amazed at what they are able to do to make that stranger feel that both the stranger is a unique person and the person the stranger has met is a unique person. I sit in a corner and am scared to death in a room full of strangers, absolutely petrified, and can't deal creatively with certain kinds of situations. And when I'm alone with a mute, you know, with a mute canvas that I can bang on and it doesn't do anything back to me, you know, then I am, that's my element. But I think of creativity as, you know, pastors, you know it, when in a congregation, when the pastor is creative, and it doesn't mean that he necessarily leaps out of the pulpit and attacks his parishioners. It means that there is a stamp that there is a uniqueness, and that his ministry is somehow given a special character which is his own.
I want to question that. Are you referring to creativity producing something that is unique or uncommon, unusual? Is that the only quality?
Or chimpanzee.
In other words, I could stand, and throw paint at a at a sheet, and each one would be unique or different or uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
So is there some other quality of value
if that
needs to be applied?
I'll have to look at the sheet first.
No,
wait a minute.
What are you looking for?
Don't knock that sheet.
You've already assumed that there's no potential in that particular.
No, I haven't assumed that, but I'm saying.
Then don't let me assume it either, because I got to check the sheet.
How are you going to decide whether it's creative or not? That's what I'm pressing.
I'm not going to decide. I'm talking about your uniqueness, not mine.
Well, okay, but you said you're going to have to look at it to see something. What is it you're looking for?
You.
And what will you see that will make?
I mean, when you look at a, I can only deal with the visual. You know, I can't deal with it any way else. But we don't even talk about paintings of Rembrandt. We talk about Rembrandts. You know, that's a Picasso. We don't say it's a painting by Picasso. It's a Picasso. I'm looking for the man, the uniqueness of the person. This is you know that. Once again, I was just flabbergasted this morning. It's just amazing to me that everybody, when they came away, wanted to know what the language of the first song was. And somebody says, I guess Jim says, I think it was French. And then everybody says, wow, no wonder I couldn't understand what was going on there. You know, and nobody cared a hoot, you know, what was going on in the last song, because it was Bach. You know, I told everybody that was German. You didn't understand one word that was, it didn't matter. It was like a relative. It was like a cousin, you know, you were home again, you know, and so nobody knew what the words were, but it all made such good sense. Because you knew who was saying it, you knew who was speaking it. So you were, it was that might work, all right, maybe for art, but I mean, the word creativity in science, for example, you're not supposed to, you know, who does it? You know, that it's not supposed to have the value.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to be done as the detached observer, and yet the word creative is applied to science.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that gets around to what Dale was saying, that you don't just come out with something that expresses yourself in science, unless you want to get rejected by the community. There are some very
rigorous
things.
Well, that's happened, hasn't it, though? I mean, Galileo, what are all these? I don't know from science, but seems to me that the Nobel Peace Prizes aren't given to ideas.
Is there uniqueness in the scientific world, or is outlawed?
Well, oh yes, or else obviously.
That's the key word in creativity.
Yeah, the science we have now is not the science we had, say, 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at least scientists think that there's been progress, which means there's been new ideas and developments.
Mm-hmm.
But any time some new work is presented to the community. And that's how it has to be accepted in science. The community has to look at it and say, aha, it is good. And that means the person who does it has to be aware of the discipline of that community. And what happens, usually
the scientific community,
that's correct. And what happens with a person who becomes creative, they get caught somewhat in a tension between the discipline of the community and the need to innovate or their doubts about what the community, the existing theory.
But that happens in the artistic field,
right.
In every area.
But I think what Dale's getting at is that it's not just doing something different, you know, because if you just did something different in science, your chances of getting, you know, being declared a creative scientist would be practically zero.
But isn't that because we've been educated to believe that in science one does things over and over and over again, proving over and over and over again the same thing?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, where it comes from. There has to be a discipline there. There is a community which basically, if you just can't throw out the discipline. And in fact, those of the most creative scientists quite often have to have a very painful experience of having to reject a part of the old discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a part, and they try to make their new presentation in a way that minimizes any contradiction with the old way.
That's
they try to do that.
Same in innovation.
Is there some reason why when I say uniqueness, someone else says no discipline? Why is when I'm looking for uniqueness, automatically, we've got people throwing stuff at bed sheets.
why is that the approach to unique?
Because that could be included in the category unique, throwing things at bedsheets. That could be.
That
doesn't
could.
Necessarily.
That's
so what
right.
Dale's saying is I think there has to be some other meaning.
But that could also be the same thing in science, though.
I think we got this whole thing all mixed up. I don't want to straighten you out, but I've got a strong opinion about this. So the words we're using to talk about creativity are not the words that are involved in describing what creativity is. They're involved in how we as individuals see the creativity of other people. So when we talk about uniqueness and spontaneity and all that jazz, we're talking about how we see the fruits of creativity.
Mm.
Well, wait a minute, let me finish.
Okay.
Chris.
Okay.
And the creativity is something that comes out of our creaturehood, and it's part of our, you know, it's part of our being to be creative. And that being creative people means that we are involved in our world and shaping that world we are involved in. That we are not animals who merely respond to what is around us, but that we shape our world. And that is the way in which scientists, you know, are creating. And that they work that by their perception and organization of what they see, they shape the world around them, same as in the visual arts and in the performing arts. And then that is not necessarily a unique thing. You know, it doesn't have to be spontaneous, it can be belabored. But that is the creative act that it, you know, that as we shape our world, that is when we create. And then how we regard as unique or humdrum or whatever is, you know, here and there. But I think that's what we want to talk about when we talk about creativity.
Well, Rich, could I add a word to your list that might clarify for Dale with his bed sheet? And that is that these qualities must communicate. Maybe not to everyone, but certainly to someone or to a select group. So what you were saying about the bed sheet is if the splashings and the drippings come out so that they communicate in some way, then you have created something. Otherwise, you have a bed sheet with a bunch of paint on it.
Yes.
That's a good
point. Go ahead.
Ruth. I guess I would... I dare to question what you're saying, because I think very often creative artists in their time were completely misunderstood. They were really unable to communicate with the people of their own time. And I see another quality, I think, in a creative artist, a sort of a drivenness in which he will practice, pursue his art at all costs, sometimes at high physical cost for himself, and certainly, very often, at the risk of being totally out of step with his time. But it is a consuming something within him, which means expression. Cause the force.
I would like to ask a question. Rick said a little while ago that he is feeling hurt if he has created something and another person doesn't get the life out of what he has created. I've sensed this all my life, that an artist is tremendously sensitive to this kind of perhaps criticism, or even the question is already a criticism of his art, and I never asked an artist what it meant to him, because I realized that what it meant to him may not communicate to me what it meant to him. And it reminded me of what you said about the fuzzy words today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fuzziness of the creative artist may just as well apply to what he does. And as a matter of fact, when you go to the big museums, where many times the artist walks in and takes the picture and turns it upside down because that's the way it's supposed to be, rather than what the curator has done with it, namely hang it the other way around. It proves that this man who has hung it, this picture, has not gotten the message that the artist was trying to communicate. So I think that this particular kind of work of art, what it means to the artist is what it means to him, and it is beautiful to him, but it doesn't mean that I receive the message, his message. But when you walk in my house, you will say, this is Gerda's house. I can tell that.
Yeah.
Because that's her personality. Mm-hmm. She looks so, I can close my eyes and I think I'll know what her house looks like. Mm-hmm. Because there is a uniqueness about the individual that carries wherever she goes, regardless if she tries or not. It just comes through. It speaks. And the others somehow get the message or don't. I know that not everybody is tuned in on my frequency. They can't all get what I think, but some of them will. And that's my personality, my stamp that I put on things. And I think that's what the creative artist is doing.
Go ahead, yes.
But the reason we are talking about artists is if any of you took the test in the Sunday section of the newspaper, I found out, you see, I'm not creative because there was a test. This test says, I have just given you a string of beads, which is continuous. And it said, I want these beads rearranged. How would you do that? And being a puzzle worker, I sit there and I say, how am I going to do that? And I say, I cannot rearrange them. Any way I shove them around the ring, you know, they come out the same. So being the impatient person I am, I look in the back to see what it was. And it says, you first broke the string.
Jeez.
And it says, if you didn't think of that, you're not creative. So I know I'm not creative because I took that thing and
that's a great point. You can't believe that stuff. You can't. I got F's all the way through school in art because I couldn't draw railroad tracks going out of town that always looked like a Christmas tree. And when Mr. Uffelman said draw a pussycat on a fence, mine looked like just snowball lumps. And my pussycats and railroad tracks never got put on the wall with the other kids. But now I collage abstracts. And I graduated from high school with a 1.5 grade point average. That's a D plus. And I took the famous writer school test in Connecticut and failed it. But I write and publish books of poetry. You just can't trust that kind of stuff. You just let your inner force, as she said, work itself out and don't listen to those guys.
Except the one thing it did say was that, now what it's saying is you must have thought then, which is outset, which is willing to break the rules. Now, you know, that's what that said to me, was you, in order to be creative, you must have a process of thought that will break the rules. The standard rules by which we go.
Yeah, but just breaking rules doesn't mean
you're going to
be
I think what you said about communication, I think that has some value. And one of the differences are the different communities that you try to communicate to. In science, there's a very definite community which has certain standards which it's established. And I think the artist also presumably wants to communicate to somebody. And if the artist can't communicate to anybody, then I'm not sure whether people are going to call that person a creative artist. Now maybe later, in a future generation, they'll communicate. But so I think that maybe that key in their communication may be important. And there's different communities that you communicate to.
I'd like to pick up on that word and hook it up with John. Some meaningful words tonight for me have been not very much said. Self-image. That's one. Very important to me when one talks about creativity. It's like that image on that canvas or whatever it is. You know, that's a camera. So you extend into it. It comes from you. you identify with it, you give it to someone, and the reason you may be sensitive is that it's vulnerable. You're vulnerable. You have you're latched out there with some kind of a commitment. I think that's a shaping force. It's that drive that Ruth talked about too, and that a communication is not, for me, it's not just to have dialogues with people, but it's to shape and be shaped. It's to have real not only community with someone, but community within myself, and to bring memory back, to remember communities of people with whom I was, to remember places where I have been, to get senses and smells back that I knew, to open up the senses and to let that flow come. And that's to me not breaking the rule. That just means options. That means flexibility. It means that there's more data there than I know, and breaking the string would be one, cutting it would be another, burning it would be a third, you know, chewing it would be a fourth. I mean, I can think of what you want. So it isn't just cutting it, that's not breaking, that's just releasing the beads or whatever it is. One can look at it as breaking, one can look at it as opening, and or making a line instead of a circle, or just all kinds of things. And just not to have it be one thing, because I'm more than one. I have more than one option with anything. And so me, it is a shaping thing, and I'm shaped and being shaped. I have continuous intercourse with all kinds of forces and colors. I could look up there and I see now there's a poem somehow could come in 3 minutes. It won't be written. There are all kinds of possibilities. They're enormous, and they're always present and always coming. And they're coming out of the past. And to be conscious of that doesn't belong to me alone. It belongs to all of us. The way I best heard it described for me and defined was by engineers. That's where I learned creative categories in terms of goals for thinking and feeling and all kinds of matrices. I learned from the engineers. And they apply to me in terms of writing.
And each kind of thing requires its own discipline.
Oh, yes. Whether one looks at wood, or whether one goes to a canvas, or walks with children, or answers a letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a sense in which there is a base structure, the rules, and that's a safe structure. You know, as long as we stay that in, we know mom will pat us on the head and daddy's a year good girl.
Okay.
When you move beyond that, you have to have some sense of self-esteem that you can break the rules, you can get out of that structure. And that, for me, is where the creative person comes in, whether they're painting and making they're risking. They're putting their statement on canvas, they're putting it on paper, they're putting it into words, they're putting it into their household. They are going beyond Better Homes and Gardens version of what a house should be,
yeah.
Or Mr. Truffle's cat on a hot tin roof or whatever. They're going beyond the rules with intentionality,
mm-hmm.
And risking having somebody say, you're completely wrong. You know, Galileo, get out of town, you're out of your tree. So in any way, it's with intentionality and with a sense of risking, and so it has to deal with self-esteem to go beyond the rules.
I think that at Holden, one often doesn't feel the risk as much as the support.
Yes.
And therefore, to go around thinking we're risking sounds dangerous. Seems like you're going over, running around on a Autobahn with a tricycle, but that isn't the way I perceive it, because the supporting makes even risking difficult to notice.
Well, let me give you one example. You said you've got, what you were describing to engineers. If you had to present that at a conference of engineers, mm-hmm. exactly, how you got that from engineers and explained it to them, that would be a whole different kind of problem.
I draw a chart that they showed me. Yeah.
And it would be considerable more risky.
Well, I draw a chart.
There are boundaries or parameters or limits, though, are there not, to risk taking? There's a spectrum of options, and if you're only interested in breaking rules, you may wind up in jail, and some people wind up in jail creatively, Dan Berrigan or whatever, but not everybody in jail is a Dan Berrigan, or a Blunt Emperor. And so you do want to avoid spending your life in prison, maybe, and you do want to avoid just throwing paint at bed sheets. So that that's kind of back to Dale again. Those criteria have to be added to when we say taking risks. You take risks, but not any old risk. Yeah? You break rules, but you don't break any old rules, any old way, any old time.
But maybe some people do.
All right, but do you want to define creativity as breaking any old rule, any old time, any old way, or do you want to have some kind of parameters within which you move, which give some kind of structure, discipline?
If you don't call it breaking rules, I'd say one should have at least 300. But if you call it breaking rules, I'd say 2. I mean, I don't feel very flexible when you call it breaking rules, because that's all loaded information. I don't like that sentence.
That kind of rule, like going to the rabbi, I think it's rules like, you know, this year no one is, you know, in people are not painting their walls beige. That's out. Now, that's passé. That was 10 years ago. But I have a polite beige, so I'm going to risk painting all the walls in the house beige, and you're going to say, oh, man, you know, she out of tune.
there are ways that we structure our thoughts, and some of them are very basic, and we just take it for granted that that's the way the world is. And as you and I think that would be encompassed in what you would call the rules. There's certain ways, for example, our concept of time, that time only goes one way. You can't go backwards in time. We all believe that, right? That's one way, well, most of us. Oh, you go back in time. And I mean, I think you're treating it a little bit too lightly, because without any of those things...
All is never a creative word.
if you without any of those patterns or structures...
That's right, I think you got that.
Go ahead.
No, without any patterns or those structures, a person would be insane. Yeah. And would be insane. And in fact, if you read a book like Persig's Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, where he's really working with the most fundamental concepts or rules or whatever you want, he goes insane. And that's one of the risks that you take. You know, when you really begin to question the basic parameters way out. So a lot of these things that I think you're referring to rules are things that we just take in the way we talk, the way we communicate to people, in the way we arrange our thoughts, the way we set up colors or whatever it might be. And that there has to be some structure to that, or else all of the impulses we get are just random blurs. And
you had a comment over here.
Yeah, a lot of this I really have trouble understanding what's going on. And to me, in my world, and I deal with the business world, you know, a lot of the I have a belief system that there's a intellectual part of the mind and there's a intuitive or creative. And lots of times I will work and I will have the result I want, and I can get it from by thinking about it and figuring it out, or I can let the answer come. And the answer that comes generally will be a much more creative way, and the answer that I figure out will be a very structured, following the rules. And sometimes the creative one will get me, you know, there in a long way, and sometimes it's very short. You know, but that will usually be a lot different way. And I find for myself, I have the capacity to control of being creative or thinking it out. And I find that happening more and more in the business world. Major corporations using the creative process to come to decisions and testing them. And I, there's a lot happening in that area.
Like the Swiss banks.
Yeah. Well, one real example here in the Northwest, Northwest is Weyerhaeuser Company. They have a meditative group who makes and works on making major decisions through meditation. The creative process, and they're still checking it with their normal procedures, but they're amazed how much faster they get to the same results.
They're unconscious.
In other words, using varieties of resources rather than traditional.
Well, you know, we're in an intellectual mind community in our country. That is my belief system,
yeah.
The way it runs.
Okay. But don't ever distinguish when you talk about creative and intellectual.
that's, you know, that just, that makes me so mad that now that I am a creative person, I don't have to be intellectual.
I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I believe that I have both capacities.
Yeah, but I believe that they're both at the same time. You got one going one way and one going another, and then you check one off with the other, against the other, to see if it'll work.
Right.
Well, I don't think it really works that way. At least it doesn't work for me. I can see how in the business world, you know, it probably has to work that way. But from my point of view, the improvisations and services by Herb and multimedia things and painting, that's an intellectual process. It's a very intellectual process.
But from my experience, I would say that's a very intuitive, creative process.
There is no distinction. I'm saying those two are not in two separate mindsets. That's one person. That's all going on at the same time.
Well, you can have, and science has found that part of your brain can be cut off, and you can have your intuitive, creative side work, and the other side can be cut off, and you can have your thinking side. So there are two sides of the brain. You know, that's a
fact. Yeah, but when you make a thing, or mm-hmm. when I make a thing, I've got them both working at the same time.
Right. I agree. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
I mean, physiologically, you can cut that off.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Way in the back.
You know, I was bothered by this breaking of the rules. I don't know. I kind of like to look at that as modifying discipline.
She said it really neat that you never said break. You said going past or like going through them. You know, it was kind of like dragging them along with you, you know, into the next thing.
But I'm not active in any of the performing arts, whether it's music or art or stage or anything like that. But it seems to me, as I've read about some of the as Bach, he did not stay with the rules of music as they had been. He went beyond that. didn't stay with the rules of art. He went beyond it, which meant cutting the string, not taking the measures that they were right there, but moving beyond it.
Could I just give one example of the latest thing in art? It'll probably make some of you lose your ice cream, but I think it's on the verge of what you're talking about, Jim, even into the ethics of rule breaking. It's called body art, and I guess the ultimate happened in Kassel, Germany, in an exhibit about a year and a half ago. An exhibit of Polaroid shots of an artist who began slicing off parts of his body, beginning with his private parts. And each slice was documented with a Polaroid shot. And this was a wall of this person gradually turning into a cocoon suspended from the ceiling until the last shot was of the last slice, which killed him. This was in an exhibit of art. Now, I hate to bring it up, except that, Lois's painting beige is... she doesn't know what the rules are, man. I mean, we're talking big rules. Messing around with what color is in this year, and we're talking about your whole... No, that's ethics.
Was
right?
that creative?
Yeah, well, that's...
I'm asking you.
Don't ask me.
But you communicated, didn't
you? I'll tell you one thing.
Innovative.
In the talking about it, of course, it does take you back to Vincent, you know, who just managed to do the ear thing. And of course, everybody says that he did what he did because he was crazy. And that, you know, gets me a little bit angry.
Doesn't creativity overlap into insanity?
No, wait a minute.
You laid out the spectrum.
Yeah. Well, if by insanity we are now back to the rules, then I say it does get over. And as far as that one particular aspect of it, and there are many. I mean, I won't go at it anymore. But this body stuff is an extension of what we call conceptual art, and there are hundreds of people all over the world doing numbers like this.
How many are there currently left?
We talk about art as process, but it's not what you got when it's over, it's what you're doing at the time. But I don't think of that as art because of my own personal definition, which includes that it has to affirm humanity. And I don't think that does.
And community.
Lars?
Well, I was just gonna say that if you think of uniqueness as the main part of creativity, it has to lead to insanity. And you're the only one. But if you think of it as humanity as part of it, it seems to me that that's the more important part. That what I've just kind of been seeing lately is that the more essential things, the more important things, are the things that are common to everyone, and that everyone participates in, and that it isn't the uniqueness. So that humanity is really the
So far in our definitions of creativity, we're assuming apparently that it's a sole prerogative of adults. Now, I've seen a lot of two-year-old children playing with blocks. In their minds, they're creating towers and spaceships and everything else. Isn't this creativity?